It's Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 13. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed." May God bless to us the reading of his word. In scripture we find that the Christian life is likened to many things. There are many similes given. And in this particular case, in Hebrews 12, if you'd like to turn back to that, it's likened to a race. It was well known in those days. Races have always been with us, haven't they? And it was likened to a race, and this is what we'll be looking at this morning. That we, all of us, if we are truly God's in Jesus, if we are truly his, we are in a race, whether you know it or not. And there's several examples in scripture of that. And if I could just turn to one or two of them. Acts 20 and verse 24. Acts 20 and 24. You don't have to turn to them. I can read them if you wish. "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying the gospel of God's grace." Each one of us has a task. God has not just called us into the kingdom for nothing. We have a race to run. One or two other verses, if you bear with me. I usually mark these off, but today I haven't had a chance. So, 1 Corinthians 9. Verse 24. "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize." Then there's Galatians 5 verse 7. Just a little way over the page. Galatians 5 verse 7, which says, "You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth?" And 2 Timothy 4 verse 7. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." These are all followers of Christ, giving an example of being in a race. So it's throughout the New Testament here. And Hebrews 12, of course, goes into it. What is this race? What is it all about? Races are fun, aren't they? If you like at school, we used to go to school. It wasn't much fun for me because I was never very much good at running. But, you know, they used to have all sorts of strange races, sack races and three-legged races and so on. This is not a fun race. This is a very serious race. One of the last films I ever saw, these days I don't go to the cinema, I saw The Chariots of Fire, which was a very good film. And throughout that film was shown the tremendous discipline that Olympic runners go through. It's agony, it's day after day, hour after hour. The discipline and the training, the perseverance, the self-denial, every day they would run. We can easily misunderstand the Christian life. You know, we think, oh, it's easy. I can remember somebody saying to me, I was baptized back in, when was it, 1950-something, and that was it. No, when you become Christ's, this is the beginning of the race. It's the beginning of this tremendous race that only finishes when we leave this world. It's following Christ. I remember once going, when was it, into the prison, talking to some of the lads in there, and to them, a lot of them just thought, oh, Christian life, it's like a medicine, you just take it and that's it. No, that's not it at all. The Christian life is running, it's discipline, it's perseverance. If we truly love the Lord Jesus Christ, it's something that we are called to do, and we really should put all our heart into that. You know, following Christ, it says, putting his hand to the plough, says our Lord. Anyone who wants to be mine, who wants to follow me, he doesn't promise an easy life at all. Some people think, oh, I become a Christian, wonderful. That makes everything right. That's a false gospel. When we follow Christ, we are against this world. The world doesn't like to hear. We know that from all over the world. We hear news. They do not like the gospel. When we put our hand to the plough, we stay there with that plough, like the old, when they used to have the horses and pulling the plough through, they had to hold on to that, pulling the plough. He who would be my disciple must deny himself. It's as serious as that. I can always remember when I became a Christian, one of the first things, and if any of you have that same experience before you came, that little voice say, if you follow Christ, you're giving up so much. It's a nonsense. Yes, you give up this world, but you've got treasures which are 100 times more than this world could ever give you. It's wonderful to follow him, but it's hard. It's not. He never did promise it would be an easy life to follow him. We're set against the world. If I can just read John 15, what a wonderful gospel. John 15, our Lord says this in 18 to 25, I read the whole thing. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it will love you as its own. So don't be surprised when people are against you. People, some of our friends here have come from countries where it's really hard to stand up for Christ. Because you can be arrested, you could be put in prison, you could even lose your life in many of these countries. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That's why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. So we shouldn't be surprised, especially today in our land, there is increasing mild persecution. People do not like the gospel. You find in schools and so on, they're teaching things which are an abomination, that all Christians should be standing firm against, and so on. So we've been through a time in this country where there has been respect, maybe. We're not called Christians. No country is ever full of Christians. But there was a respect for the gospel, there was a respect for churches, for the Bible, and so on. That is rapidly disappearing. But don't be surprised, because Jesus said that will be what will be happening. So, we're set against the world. That's not easy, is it? It's very easy to give in and follow the world. Sadly, so many have done that, and we're not here to do that, but to stand for Christ. He who's put his trust in Jesus, a believer, is in the race, as I said at the beginning, on the starting line. And we're in that race until our time on earth is finished. It's a privilege to be in that race. How many people would love to even get to the starting line of an Olympic running? It's a privilege even to get there, let alone run and maybe even win or come in the first three. We're on the starting line. If you've just become a Christian, your race begins. Your life in Christ begins. We have a start. That's when you give your life to Christ, or he comes and takes you to himself. That's the start, and there's a course. We have to run that course, and there's a finish, a winning post. And it's very easy, to flag during that. If I can just go back to Hebrews 10, verses 32 to 34... Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. These people were suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property, because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. Can we say that? We're not in prison, maybe, but there are people in prison in this world for the Lord's name. So, you know, are you losing your way? This is the question today. Do you realize we're in a race? And take heart, because this was written for such of these people in those days. God knows our failings. He knows our weakness. Why should we run this race? We run the race because we represent. We're like, if you like, diplomats. We're ambassadors of Christ in this world. We represent him if we are following him. You know, when a diplomat comes from one country or an embassy, or someone's summoned, they stand for that country, not themselves, for that country. They represent the country. And we represent Christ. We're ambassadors of Christ. So it's a tremendous race. And there are many in the past who've gone through this. Right at the beginning of Hebrews 12, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and if you want to know what those witnesses are, you go back into the chapter before. And it shows how the terrible things that people went through to stand up for the Lord. Let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let's run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Remember that we live by faith. God makes us, or if we're running that race properly and living in him, he makes us more like him day by day. That is the whole purpose. We're being perfected. That is why we're disciplined. Some people never leave the starting line. I hope that will never be said of any of us here. That starting line, we can say, I'm now saved, and then go off and carry on as we always did. I would question whether you'd really come to that starting line. They don't even know they're in the race. This is why we read Scripture. It tells us we are in a race. How many of us realize that we're running that race? It doesn't, how do you run it? There was an example once of a man, it doesn't matter, if you're in that race, you're going to stumble and you're going to find it difficult. You may not get like with the front runners. Well, there was a man in the Olympics, I don't know what the exact event was, but they'd all come in on the marathon, I think it was, and they'd come into the arena and everyone was packing up to go home because they'd all finished. And the very last man came in long, long after the others and stumbled into the arena. And of course everyone rose to their feet and cheered for this man's perseverance. And when they said, why did you bother? He was about an hour behind everybody else. I came here for my country. They want me to run in it, and that's what I'm going to do. It was a wonderful example. One day we will all be standing before him on that day of judgment. Will we be shamefaced on that day? Well done, good and faithful servant. Is that what you would want to hear? Well done, good and faithful servant. Or will our works be burned up like straw because there aren't any? We'll be saved, but all that we did for him will be nothing. If you know, this is a serious matter, to work well and to run in that race. Going back to the film, The Chariots of Fire, if you've seen it at all, they were looking at every day, they were looking at films and so on, of runners from all over the world, and they took it very, very seriously. You know, there was nothing shallow about it at all. The discipline was terrible. The world says, take it easy. Take it easy and enjoy yourself. And we've got enough entertainment to do that for us, haven't we? From every angle. We can just sit there, we can watch all these screens, television, smartphones, iPads or whatever, and say, you know, this life is all about. No, that's not for the Christian, not at all. We remember, there's a TV, I was going to say a knob, that's what I got written down, because it's a very old sermon. You don't use knobs today, you don't even have to get up. You just push a button and it's off. Well, you know, that's not the Christian life. Too much of that. I know we all fall for it and it's very easy to be hooked on it. Come out. Join the believers. We're called to come together, aren't we? Lovely to see so many at a prayer meeting. Wonderful. Praying from the heart. That's what it's all about. That's the race. We're here to fight a battle. There are other similes in Scripture, not only a race, but an army. We're an army too. We're soldiers. Soldiers don't sit about doing nothing. They're out there, you know, putting their lives on the line. But as we're talking about a race here, coming back to that, you know, are we flagging? Are we flagging? The answer is in chapter 10, Hebrews 10, and verse 38. Verse 38. But my righteous one will live by faith, and if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. It's faith. We can't see these things. You can't see heaven. You can't see hell. All these things that we learn, we can't see forgiveness, but we know it's there. And it's by faith. That's what Hebrews 11 is all about, isn't it? Faith. Right at the beginning it says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. It's a very difficult thing when we live in a very materialistic world and there are things coming on all sides. It seems so real to us. And yet God says, no, that's not the reality. These things will pass away. And we see, don't we? Change and decay in all I see. Is it, Lord, abide with me? Thou who changest not, abide with me. A wonderful hymn that is, and it reminds us that this world is changing all the time, but we trust in an unchanging God whose promises are yea and amen. They hold solid. So, when we think of those that have run this race, and I was thinking of some example of going back into the past of this country, it wasn't, we may think, oh, there's you know, people are standing up for their faith. Like the, I always think of the Asher Bakery and the people whose wonderful example and witness to all around of how they stood for the truth and they were vindicated. But there are people in our past who have given up and suffered terrible deaths just for standing firm. One was Thomas Bilney. Just one example. Thomas Bilney in 1527 was preaching from the Bible and he was arrested for doing that. We may say, oh, it's getting harder. This was the past. He was arrested. He was tried for heresy and convicted. You know, you couldn't just go out there and preach the gospel unless you had licenses and so on. Had to be very careful what you said. But he chose to bring the light of truth. And as he waited for his sentence, his friends crowded into his cell to help him for 3 nights to persuade him to preserve his life. If he had said a few of the right words, he could have been saved from death. But he stood by his Lord. And weak and sadly, he gave up. See, you can fail, but God doesn't, he doesn't just put you aside for that. He knows how weak we are. Bilney failed. He actually signed a confession, but it wasn't in his heart. That was the main thing. He signed a document of recantation. In other words, the pressure got to him. We can understand that. We're not here to judge a man like that. How dare we? Public humiliation. They set fire to new, he'd had to set fire to New Testaments and Reformation books. A terrible thing to have to do. 12 months of imprisonment. He lost all his peace over that. He lost something far worse. And in 1531, he was back in the race again. See, we can wander off that track, but come back onto it. God will make sure of that. That's why he disciplines us. He brings us back. He was preaching in Norfolk, and knowing the outcome of what would happen, he was again arrested and burnt to death. What courage. He knew that God was with him, and God didn't fail him. He brought him back from that position of like Peter, who himself was brought back, wasn't he, when he denied his Lord and was forgiven. Well, that race, keep at it. Even if we flag, even if we feel we've come off the course, get back on and keep running. Wonderful. There are others too. There's many that we could say this morning, but I didn't bring everything with me. Tyndale was another man who wanted the scriptures to be in English, not in Latin. Nobody understood Latin except the priests. And all he wanted to do was to give us what we have here in English. Couldn't do that. He took all the power away from those in control. And he too suffered. He suffered death for the same thing. This is the race we're in, brothers and sisters. We're in a race which is serious. We're running that race for him. And then we have to look at that winning post, don't we? Because we remember Jesus. He fixed his eyes on the cross. We watch him. He came for one reason, wasn't he? To run that race to save us all. He never flagged. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he was in agony. He cried out, if there be any other way. It wasn't a light thing. He had his human side, which saw this. And yet he went to the cross for us. That's why we're here this morning. That's why we're safe. So, you know, when we in this life do something that we really want to do, and I mean really want to do, we want to learn a musical instrument. It's no good just picking it up. You know, some people say, oh, I'd like to play that. And then they give up. As soon as it gets hard, they, you know, I remember playing the guitar and I couldn't get my fingers on the strings. They hurt. They didn't sound. And so many people have done that and then given up. But if you keep on and you keep on and you keep on, gradually you get better and better. It's the same with an athlete. Practices running hours and hours every day. And I know there's a, I was told off for saying this in the gym once. There's a saying, train through pain to gain. Well, the gym trainer said, no, that's not true. If you get pain, you're overdoing it. But the thing is that these things are not easy. And yet we're in the biggest race of all. And it's more important than even learning instruments or doing or learning a career. People think career. No, it is important to have a career, important to have a profession at which you work hard and study, but it's nothing compared with running the race for Christ. That is far more important because that is forever. All these other things are just for this time in this world. I can look back and say, well, I did my studying and so on, and I look back and it's all over. My career's finished, I'm retired. But this, you never retire from this, never. Not till you go home to heaven. Well, have you given up? Are you breathless on the track? Has sin steered you away from that track? What caused you to stumble, it says. In Chariots of Fire, if you start looking at other people and comparing yourself is a mistake. I think there was an example in the film where they... I forget who it was. He showed the film of a runner and he was looking back to see how the others were doing. And the coach said that one glance made him lose the race. You know, it's easy to be diverted and distracted. Keep your eyes upon the winning post. Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus. That's what it says in Scripture. Keep your eyes fixed on him. Whatever's going on around you, that's the secret of running the race well. So, when we fall, there's a strong arm that picks us up. There's one that carries us through these difficult times of life. I would say, the challenge today is, there's two types. We can be spectators. We've trusted in Christ, and we watch the church from outside. That's not being a true Christian. We're not spectators, we're athletes. We're runners in the race. There were those, as I read by Bilney, who went to the flames for the sake of the gospel. But then they're in heaven. They're saved. They can look back on all that. Wonderful. Because they have seen the one verse that matters. And that's John 3:16. It's something I had to learn when I first became a Christian. So I know it well in the old AV version. Wonderful. But I'll read it here for your sakes. John 3:16. It's the one verse I remember very well. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Eternal. That's where our race finishes. When we leave this world and we go to be with him forever, our work done. And may we hear that word at the end of the race, well done, good and faithful servant. May we all run that race well. Well,